请民意社会主义有来
立方的同志，立即前我离开。
For you say, our community nor forsake you.
Question 4. The Bible says that faith is substance, hope, but things not yet seen. It's a hope that if something will happen, or someone will want to see. And yet it's more than an empty hope. It's something substantial. It's more than wishful thinking. It's more than something that is faceless. On the other hand, faith is something that's yet to happen. So it's something we cannot predict. Take it for example. How many of you guys are in the stage of school where you select elective classes? You have electives, right? When you choose those classes, you are hoping you will contribute to your academic career. But you don't know exactly how that's going to play out. That's fake. Are you at a stage where you're about to make a major decision about your career? You think about it in the long run. You think about how your current job helps you get to the goal that you want to get. That's fake. You do some type of careful calculation. And based on that calculation, you make that choice. At my stage right now, where I am, parenting takes a lot of faith. Emily and I both hope our kids turn out to be godly people. Loving, kind Christians. And we do everything we can to make that happen. And we pray that they will happen. But that's faith, because it hasn't happened yet. They are not grown up. They haven't been tested. We don't know how they will react under pressure. That's faith. The Bible commands, and I repeat, the Bible commands. It doesn't just recommend. The Bible commands that we live by faith. The righteous live by faith. In this particular passage, it actually means the righteous shall live by our faithfulness. Our faithfulness to what? God. It's both a command and a statement. You're righteous, you shall live by faith. But if you're righteous, you shall live by faith. It's both a communion and a fact. Why is it important that faith is lived by? Why do we have to have faithful living? Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 4 gives us a glimpse of why. In the 3rd century, Rabbi Simla noted that Moses gave 365 prohibitions and 248 positive commands in the first 5 books of the Bible. David reduced them to 11 commands in Psalm 15. Isaiah made them 6 in chapter 33 of Isaiah. Micah found them 3. Micah 6:8. That we went through a few weeks ago. Now in condense all those hundreds of laws into one. Just one. The righteous shall live by faith. Let dwell in your mind here. How shall we live? What do we live by? By faith. But exactly what does that mean? How shall we live by faith? Let's take a look at the three clues in the passage this morning. Number one, faithful living involves patience. Faithful living involves patience. And this is the kind of patience that takes time, that takes tests, that's going to endure. This doesn't play out in the scripture in the text, but scholars agree between chapter 1 and chapter 2, there was a period of waiting for a harvest. It's going to be at least months, if not years, since chapter 1, which Ben walked us through last time. Habakkuk complained about God. And he complained to God, actually, about God. And he demanded an answer from God. And then he waited. He knew that God heard. And then he waited. I don't know how long he waited, but he did. He was sure, he had faith that God would answer his question, and it's only a matter of time. It's endurance. It's one of the hallmarks of faith. I don't need to say this again, but you guys all know that I like to talk, right? I read up on car news and whatnot all the time. One of my resources, the sources that I go to, is Consumer Report. And actually, if you go to Consumer Report, car names, or whatever, there's a new car coming out, they come with the specs, the warranty, the features, the softness of the leather, and the color. One of the things, if you're serious about getting that car, one of the things I always look for, and I know this for sure because I'm scared by the practical people, is the predicted reliability of this car. How well this car will age, how well this car will endure, how well this car can survive 3 kids with skilled friends. How well this car can take trips in the snow, in the sand, and occasionally scratches from other cars and cost more parking lot. It's the same thing. We don't know how and they come up with predicted reliability by the track record of the automaker. The same car in the previous generation. Automakers spend years, decades, fine-tuning the reliability of their vehicles on their car. And it's the same thing for Christian faith. I should walk with God. I should live by faith. Your faith is tested. And you don't know until you commit to growing your faith. When I first went to Canada, I took my very first real English class. And we had to write a 2-page essay. And you know, that's not it for you guys. Someone who's a DSL 2-page is astronomical, right? That's more than 100 words. That's a lot of English words for an English learner. And the topic of that paper is if you play video games for 12 hours straight, is that endurance? Does that count as patience? And then the debate will come in class, right? I didn't think he was, because he didn't take that vision anyone to do it. But apparently, some other boys in the class believe that it's a sign of character that you can play video game for all the school. Because you do for all of one of the video games. Yes. You did a job. You know the kind of thing that God demands. Abraham waited 25 years before God fulfilled his promise and Isaac was born. David waited 15 years after his anointing to actually begin the king of Israel. Moses was in the desert for 40 years before he became proper to lead God's nation. Patience is required if we shall be like him. Second clue in the text is in verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by him. You see, there's a contrast that Habakkuk is doing, comparing pride against faith. So the second clue is faithfulness required humility. Just talk about Moses. He waited 40 years to be ready. When Moses was 40 years old, he witnessed injustice on the street. He took justice into his own hands and killed an Egyptian. The Egyptian was clearly in the wrong. And Moses was full of righteousness and he killed him. You think he's ready to be a leader again? He's filled with justice, with righteousness. God said no. Moses wasn't ready. Looking 40 years, again, endurance to properly groom one of the greatest leaders in the nation of Israel history. Until the day he confessed that I cannot do this on my own. I won't believe that I can do it on my own. And then God told him, exactly what I want to see in my ears. You can do it on your own strength, and you will do it with mine. Billy Graham, who's led millions of people to Christian faith, also confessed with humility. He shared that one of his prayers, he prayed to God, God, when I read the scripture, when I read your word, I don't understand everything you're saying. But even then, I will commit my lack of understanding to you in faith. And I'll let you lead, even in my questions. This humility is not an outward humility, it's not a man-made humility. As a matter of fact, Paul spoke against it in Colossians chapter 2. There were people out there who thought by punishing themselves physically would be a sign of humility. And I pray that none of us do that. Instead, this humility outflows from the gospel that's living within us. Philippians chapter 2. Although he, that's Christ, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the form of death, and death on the cross. Remember what Jesus did in Matthew 49? He had questions. He had thoughts. The human part of him told him not to believe. And he stayed. He asked God the Father, it's your will. It is coming from. But your name be glorified. Because that's why I came. Humility. That's the kind of humility John wrote about in chapter 3, verse 30. That Jesus must increase. And we must decrease. Like Moses with his voice, full of charisma, full of strength. When I see him, I will want to follow this guy, but God said no. And then his age, full of character, full of humility, God said, you're ready. And the more you guys walk with God, the more you will realize what you think doesn't matter as much as what God thinks. So you might as well start thinking about God. Humility. Third clue from the text. Faithful living is living with God. I'll repeat that. Faithful living is living with God. At the end of verse 1, Habakkuk said, wrote, and look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And then God answered. Notice how Habakkuk didn't just talk to other people about God. That's evangelism. He talked to God about God. That's prayer. That's fight. That's scripture reading. And that's one of the right word here. One of the most accurate hallmark of a mature Christian. How do you walk before God? Your sense of calling and commitment. The one who saved. In my younger years as a believer, my world was more violent. When I read the scripture, it's right and wrong. That's how I judge the world. That's how I judge other believers. That's how I judge myself. Right and wrong. And you know what? We can never take that away. God is holy and God is righteous. There is a very clear sense of justice, of what's right and what's wrong. And as a matter of fact, the rest of chapter 2 talk about why God actually answered Habakkuk's question about why this thing is happening. But notice in the first 3 verses, God didn't answer Habakkuk's question. He addressed Habakkuk's heart first. And I believe that's a sign of faithful living, living faithfully, that God wants to have a faith in his believers. As you become more mature in your Christian walk, your worldview will become more gray than black and white. Disclaimer. I'm not talking about blurring the line of what's right and what's wrong. Okay? So don't go around telling people I'm teaching something moral on Sundays. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the angle, the world that you choose to judge the world. The world is simple, the world is small, but God chooses you. He chose to send himself back to sin to show this love. And that's what I meant by having a more gray worldview than black and white. We go through different situations in life. Of course, you know what's right and what's wrong. But we choose to approach with the angle of love, understanding, kindness, and compassion. And I believe that can only come to a believer who chooses to live in God's presence. And he becomes one of Christ. When I was at my church, I was involved in ministry as a leader, and I wasn't happy with all the ministries were done back then. I remember that I wrote this huge email. By then, my English was a little better. I was capable of writing a long email telling the minister, telling him that I have not achieved, I have this, years later, by God's grace, I became a little bit mature. And I look back at that email and that book. All those words spoke right back as a servant of God. Faithful living. Living with God, living with His presence. Just let me go back, I'm going to repeat this one more time, because I think that's how important it is. You can't take away the justice of God. You have to know what's right. You have to know what's wrong. You have to know what's godly. You have to know what's fallen. God says the next, I don't know, 11, 4, no, 17 verses, not down. But right here, before addressing the whole world, God addressed the heart of his prophets. God addressed the hearts of his people first. Be patient. Be humble. It's the righteous of the back there. How you are going to be running this world of all generations. So greetings this morning from Habakkuk. Faithful living takes patience. Faithful living takes humility. Faithful living is living with God. Changes, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Faith without works. So now we know what they mean by faith. What are they going to do about it?
Father, Lord, I pray that you all of us this morning and continue to grow in faith, continue to show trust in you in all things, and pray, Lord, that the offerings will make the world better. Lord, just give faith to the Lord and generously, and use it for your kingdom. Lord, we need to provide for us. That's our prayer.
Stay in the wash, in white as snow.